Hey guys, thanks for checking out the Access Point podcast. Whether you stumbled upon us for the first time or you're a longtime listener, we thank you for coming and listening, and we hope you enjoy. As we saw last week, God is giving us as believers gifts. He is equipping us. If He is calling us to do something, then He equips us to do the very things that He's asking us to do. And these are what we call spiritual gifts. So these next two more weeks after today, we're going to expound on that, what it means. Because as last week we saw the whole question of, God, I don't know if I can do that. Well, the reality is we answer by saying, if God is truly calling you to this, then He's going to equip you to accomplish the very things He's calling you for. So again, this four-week series is reminding us that our gifts exist to build up the entire body of Christ. We are blessed in order to bless others, to bless one another. And then, of course, when I say the body of Christ, it's not just us here at Access Point, but the body as a whole, despite all the differences, all the separations, all the denominations that we see throughout Christian culture. If we are believers in Christ, we are all a part of the body of Christ. And so I hope this series will really serve as a reminder that as believers, we are created for good works for God's glory and given spiritual gifts in order to accomplish the very things that God says He's called us for. He has created us, made us for good works for His glory. And He doesn't leave us hanging. It's not like, all right, you need to do this and good luck. I don't know if you're going to be accomplished, but He's saying, I've called you. Before you were born, I prepared you. I called you for good works for my glory. And now I'm equipping you with these gifts to accomplish the very things that I'm calling you to do. So He's not leaving us hanging. He's there with His Holy Spirit guiding our steps and giving us gifts by the discretion of the Holy Spirit to help us take that step forward, to no longer say, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do it. But God, if this is what You want me to do, I begin to serve. I begin to learn. I begin to see other areas to serve, no longer using these things as an excuse, but say, God, if this is where You want me, I know I may start out shaky and rough. Believe me, my first sermon was horrible. But we begin to grow. We begin to say, God, if this is where You want me, then I know You will equip me to begin to grow in that. And yes, some of that's through practice and hard work, but a lot of that is God's Holy Spirit and the gifts that He gives us. And so I want to see today, after last week, we saw that if God has called us to it, He's equipping us for that. And so now I want to look at how we begin to understand our gifts and to see how it fits individually into the body corporately and what that means for you and I. Because what we have to understand and truly believe is that if these gifts are given to us by God, then we have to understand that as the Holy Spirit, you know, doles these gifts out, as He gives them to us, they are intentional. They're not random, like just scattering, see where they land, but they are intentional gifts for each believer, for the community of believers, for the body of Christ. But you and I, we can't expect to serve one another with our gifts if we don't begin to understand why we have these gifts in the first place. We say, God, I feel like there's, you know, a calling, there's a desire, there's a drive in this direction. Maybe it's to teach, maybe it's to serve, maybe it's to encourage. And it's something, God, that I've noticed is starting to come natural where I'm longing to do this. But God, why is that? Why do my gifts exist? Well, we have to understand, first and foremost, they exist to glorify God. And then they help to build up those around us, those in our church, those in our community. It helps to build up the body of Christ. And so our gift is to be used in order to help the body of Christ function in the world around us. And so you and I have these gifts by God. And so we understand, as I trust in Christ, as I grow in Him, as I become this new creation, I'm given these gifts to do the very things He's asking me to do. And because just the reality that these gifts are given to us by the Holy Spirit means you and I have a place of service in the body. There's no, you know, discretion of, well, these people do that. I'm just gonna partake. I'm just gonna sit idly back. Maybe one day I'll step in. No, if you are a believer, if you are part of the body of Christ, then that is not an excuse, because we are all called to our purpose, to our plan, for the good works He has prepared in advance for you and I. We are all made to be a part of ministry. And it looks different for everybody, but everybody adds to the body as a whole. And so God gives each believer gifts for His glory. They are not to be understood as exclusive in the sense that no one else has them. I know good and well there are a ton of much better preachers than me out there. So there's no sense of thinking of myself higher because I get to preach God's word. That is not the sense. You know, where sometimes there's that exclusivity where, well, you know, the pride wants to kick in. Our minds begin to think that I'm the only one that can do this. No, it is not exclusive in that means. But we should also not forget that whatever gifts we have received are intended to, you know, for our use to bring God glory. And this requires that we begin to determine what God has called us to do with them, to use our gifts for the glory of God. And by doing so, we have to recognize that what we are gifted to do, and then begin to spend time doing just that, begin to serve, begin to find more areas to expand our understanding of that gift, to use and utilize those gifts, to begin to find new avenues, but not just strictly saying, this is what I do and this is all I do, but begin to see, I'm a part of the body of Christ. And that means I need to man up, woman up. I need to step up and do my part so the body of Christ can grow as a whole. But again, what happens are there's easily two traps that we can fall in when we get into trying to discern our gifts or really use our gifts. And the first is that we are comparing ourselves to others and we minimize the very gift that God has given us. Again, people like to put teaching, preaching on that pedestal as if, well, if I only had that gift. No, we are all given gifts by God's grace, by the discretion of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So we have to stop comparing ourselves to others and then thinking to ourselves, allowing that those thoughts come in that my gifts aren't as powerful, my gifts aren't as good. No, that's not the sake at all. The Holy Spirit is giving you specifically a gift to use for the body. Each element, each portion, each person is crucial to the body as a whole. So we have to understand that we don't compare ourselves to others, and we shouldn't allow the thoughts of, you know, diminishing our value as an individual, diminishing our identity. Remember, we are God's workmanship. That should help us understand that if I'm His workmanship, called for good works that He prepared in advance, that means He's gifted me, He's equipped me to do the very things. And that means I matter in the body of Christ. And that is a big thing. So we can't compare ourselves to others. That's one trap. The other is that we over-spiritualize our gifts. And then we limit what God is calling us to do with them. We say, this is my one niche and this is all I do. No, there's various ways that we can serve God with the gifts that we have. Our purpose, the purpose behind these gifts is, again, to bring Him glory and to build up the body of Christ. And so that's why, as we're going to read today in Romans 12, Paul wants believers to approach their gifts with humility, but also recognizing that God has equipped them to serve Him as He sees fit. And then he also gives us an opportunity, or helps us to realize, that each person, as much as he wants us to understand, we have to humbly approach this topic. He also wants us to know, look, as humbly as you approach it, know that you are an integral part of the body of Christ. So don't diminish your role. Don't compare yourselves to others, but don't over-spiritualize yourself, picking your own self up on a pedestal. It wasn't given by your own merit, but by God's discretion through the Holy Spirit as He's giving us as we put our trust and our faith in Christ. So it makes us want to push forward, to grow, no longer limiting ourselves, no longer minimizing our part in the body of Christ, but begin to see, God, this is where I can serve you. This is where I can serve others. This is where I can grow in the church as a whole. So Paul is reminding us, approach these gifts humbly, but also understand that you are, as a believer, an essential part of the body of Christ. So let's jump into Romans 12. We're going to pick up in verse 3. It says, For by the grace given to me, I tell everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he should think. Instead, think sensibly, as God had distributed a measure of faith to each one. Now, as we have many parts in one body, and all the parts do not have the same function, in the same way, we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. According to the grace given to us, we have different gifts. If prophecy, use it according to the standard of one's faith. If service, in service. If teaching, in teaching. If exhorting, in exhortation. Giving with generosity. Leading with diligence. Showing mercy with cheerfulness. Again, Paul could have kept going, but he didn't have an exhaustive list here. He does in some more of his letters, goes a little bit more in specific gifts. But what Paul, again, is reminding us to, we each, he says, each giving a measure of the gift of these spiritual gifts, not talents as many want to think of it, but gifts by God's Spirit that grow in us, and we can then learn to use it in a more powerful way for His glory. But what we have to understand, I want to go back a little bit, because Paul had just finished telling us in verses 1 and 2, and verse 1 particularly says, in light of all the mercy that God has shown us, in light, in other words, all that we've talked about, and Romans is full of God's grace, of God's mercy. Romans is a rich, rich book, a book that the staff and I have been going through for a long time, and we're only up to chapter 6, or almost up to chapter 6, because it is so rich, of the first understanding where we are, and then seeing all that Christ has done despite who we are. So now Paul, all the way into chapter 12, says, in light of all that I've laid out for you, in light of all of the mercy and grace that you've seen through God, the past, the present, and you know what will come in the future, because he's, again, always held up his end of the bargain. He's saying we should now, in response to such mercy, present our bodies as a living sacrifice. That is an act, a spiritual act of worship, giving our lives in a way that everything I do revolves around that identity that I now have in Christ. Understanding that I'm an adopted child. I am his masterpiece, his workmanship. I am blessed. I am called righteous because of Christ. Now I present my life. Everything that I am revolves around who God is and my identity in him. So in light of that mercy and understanding that mercy, Paul's saying, if you truly understand what God has done, then this presenting our lives as a living sacrifice is going to be a natural response to the grace and mercy that God has given. He's saying, let the very way we live our lives to be that act of worship to God. And then verse 2, he tells us, no longer be conformed, no longer try to match your identity with the world around you, but rather be transformed by the renewal of your mind so that we can discern what is the will of God. In other words, the more we conform to the world, the more we, hold on to our old identity, not letting that transformation through God's Spirit to truly making us a new creation, then the harder it will be for us to discern. We'll say, God, I want to know your will, but I'm not letting go of who I was. I'm not allowing that transformation take place. I'm not being transformed by the renewal of my mind through your Holy Spirit. And so that discernment is more difficult. But what Paul's saying, as we allow that transformation, we allow that change through God's Spirit and through growing in him, praying more, studying more, we can now discern what is the will of God. One of the biggest questions Christians ask, right? Okay, I'm a Christian. What is your will for my life? And if we don't get an immediate answer, we're like, oh, he must not have anything for me. But the truth is, he does. If we are a part of the body, he has a role. He has given you gifts to make those good deeds, the actions, the service, whatever it may be, he's doing it to make it possible for us. And so today, I want to understand, you know, really, when we're thinking about God's will for our lives, a lot of times that search for understanding God's will is often followed with the question of, what can I do for God? What can I do for the church? You know, is that God's will, or what is God's will in my role? You say, AJ, that he's equipping me, he's calling me, he's prepared good works in advance for me. So what is that will? What can I do? And then we say, you know, if God's will is for me to serve, how do I know where I fit, or how can I serve? What is a place that I can fit in? How do I live God's will for my life if I don't know what my gifts are, if I don't know where I can serve? We've already looked at why they exist. So now the question of, if this is God's will, how do I begin to understand the place that I have? If I am an integral part of the body of Christ, what is that part? What does it look like? And those are great questions, questions we should be asking and continue to ask in finding more ways to serve him. And so Paul does speak about how we should exercise spiritual gifts in the body of Christ. But again, first and foremost, he does it only after a warning about humility because of the inordinate amount of pride that, yes, we are guilty of, that often arises from, you know, those of us who begin to regard our spiritual gifts as, I earned this, I did this. Talents now, those are different. You know, you can grow in those, you can develop those, some based on genes, but a lot based on hard work and effort and putting in, you know, whatever the task at hand is. But spiritual gifts, we begin to say, well, I did that. I'm the preacher I am because of me. I am the teacher I am because of me. I serve and encourage better than anybody else because I worked hard to get here. And we allow pride to slip in, not giving due credit to God, and then take it on ourselves. And we begin to see that it's all us. It's no one else. But what Paul is reminding us, that the gifts that are given us are given at the discretion of the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 12, where we'll be reading more next week, says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. And so knowing this, knowing that God is giving us, not by any sense of merit, not that I've earned it, not that I made it better. We can grow in things through work and effort, but it began with the discretion of the Holy Spirit. And so knowing this should be insurmountable, or should be an insurmountable barrier to the pride in our lives, in the exercise of these spiritual gifts. But, of course, you and I, humanity, mankind, in our depravity of heart, you know, we say, trust your heart. No, the heart is deceitful. We still, in that sense, find a way to be proud about our spiritual gifts and insist on exalting ourselves instead of giving glory to the one who gave us the gifts to begin with. So Paul gives a stark reminder and a warning against such pride when it comes to the use and the presence of spiritual gifts in our lives. What he's saying is, again, we cannot equate spiritual giftedness with spiritual maturity. They do not equal one and the same. In fact, the idea is that we should see the truth about who we are and live in the light of that reality, that identity that we are in Christ, that he has set us apart, he has called us, he has blessed us, called us righteous because of his Son, and said we are his workmanship. When we see ourselves as who we really are, you know, just read the beginning of Romans and see who we really are. And then read beyond that, after, you know, Romans 3:23, we begin to see that there is hope, there is grace, there is mercy. And so in understanding who I was and now what Christ has done in light of all these mercies, as Paul says, when we truly understand that, it's impossible to be given over to pride, because it means that we should now see that even our saving faith, again, is a gift, as we saw as we were going through Ephesians. It is a gift from God. And so we have no basis for pride or a sense of superior opinion of ourselves. But we are, again, quick to do that. But yet, after that stark warning and reminder of how serious we need to take a sense of humility, pushing pride aside, with that quick lesson of humility out of the way, Paul goes on to now express the importance of each believer to the body of Christ. And he wants to remind us all that God has blessed each believer with a gift, or in some cases, multiple spiritual gifts. And since we are all given these gifts, we have to assume it is for a reason. God, if you are giving me these gifts, it's not for me. As we looked at the beginning of the sermon, it's for the glory of God and for building up the church around us. And so the reason for these gifts is, again, to make sure that God's will is fulfilled. God is given the glory in our lives, that we begin to be the living sacrifice in the way that we live, in the way that we serve others, in the way that we serve Him. And that allows us to do or fulfill that secondary goal, to build up, to equip, to grow the body as a whole. And in doing so, in showing the importance of each and every one of us, instead of looking at one part as that is what makes up the body. No, each element, each body part is what makes up the body. Just a hand will be no good. Just an arm will be no good. Just a mouth would be no good. Each element, each part coming together is what makes the body whole. And so that's why, using the human body as an example, Paul seeks to show the significance of each member of the body as we begin to exercise, to use our gifts. In fact, he celebrates the differences, the different gifts that the church has through each believer. We see that in verses 6 through 8. And he says, if this is your gift, then use it this way. If this is your gift, and we have that short list that he doles out for us. And he calls us, because of that, calls the church to accept that a certain, you know, attitude must accompany the use of the gifts. Understanding that each person has to begin to understand their role, understand their gifts, and the role that they can play while honoring God individually and collectively as a body. Because the church is a unified whole, one body, as Paul says. Yet we are distinct within that one body, individual members. In the body of Christ, there is unity, but not uniformity. And that's why, again, we can't fall into the trap of comparing ourselves to others. Well, I can't do what they do. Well, that is a good thing, because we don't need a bunch of AJs. I promise you that. I was waiting on an amen. Yeah, we don't need a bunch of preachers. We don't need a bunch of teachers. We need them, but we also need other roles, other vital roles to the body of Christ. And so when we err from this understanding and we begin to think it has to be all uniform, instead of looking at everyone individually, we neglect either, you know, the aspect of, you know, our own importance, or elevating somebody else, or saying we don't really matter to the body as a whole, or we begin to, again, make the body as a complete uniform whole begin to deteriorate because we're not doing our part, or we're not letting somebody else do their part because maybe our personal pride, or maybe, you know, there's a sense of judgment on our part, whatever it may be. And so the promotion of gifts should never be at the expense of individuality. There is unity, but it should not be at the expense, again, of individuality and how important each part, each member is to the whole. Individually, we should never diminish also the church's essential unity in Christ. He is our common ground. We are the body of Christ. There has to be unity, but unity doesn't mean uniformity where we all look the same. That would be weird. That would be useless. But we all bring what God has given us to the mix so that the body as a whole can grow and accomplish the very things He says He's prepared in advance for us to do. Because the difference and the distribution of gifts is all due to the grace that is given to us. Spiritual gifts, as I said, are not given on the basis of merit, but because of God's gracious gift. Romans 12, 3-8, and 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where we'll be next week, make it clear that each Christian is given spiritual gifts according to the Lord's choice, to His discretion, because spiritual gifts are given for the edification of the body of Christ, for the building up of Christ's church. So all Christians, if He's giving us these gifts, saying He's prepared in advance good works for us to do, then we have to understand there's reason behind that. That reason is we all have a vital and active part to play in the furtherance of the gospel of Christ, in the growth of the church. It's not for a select few, but yet the stereotype continues to be true that 100% of the work of the church is done by no more than 10% of its people. I will say, Access Point, you're better. You are more than 10%, and I'm thankful to see that. But we can be so much more, can get closer to 100% of the body doing 100% of the work, unlike the stereotype typically, which is often very true in churches today. We have to understand we are all called and equipped to be involved in the work of ministry. Whether we want to say it's ministry or not, working a part of the body of Christ is a work in ministry, and God has equipped us for the work of ministry. We saw that last week in Ephesians 4:12. Each and every one of us, if we are in Christ, identify in Christ, a part of that body, it says we are all gifted so that we can contribute to the cause of Christ out of a sense of gratitude, out of that fulfilling of offering our lives as a living sacrifice, giving that time, that devotion, that attention, that energy by using the gifts that He's equipped me to do the very things He's calling me to do. And so in doing so, we begin to find fulfillment in life through our labor in Christ. And the questions from our last series of, you know, where is my identity, or how do I find a sense of self-worth? I find worth in the reality that I'm a part of the body of Christ, and then I find a sense of even greater worth in knowing that my work matters, my effort matters. In fact, my effort in the body of Christ is needed and essential. No matter how much I try to minimize or somebody else minimizes, I am serving God in the way that He has gifted me and He has called me, and therefore He has equipped me to do so. Because the intended result of spiritual gifts is that the church as a whole can grow, being strengthened by the combined supply of each member of Christ's body, of the church as a whole. There's no unfortunate, you know, we want to think, well, if that is the point, if there's an intended understanding that I have to be a part of this, that the body, to be at its peak performance, I need to do my part. So now tell me where I fit. Tell me where I'm gifted. And no, there's no magic formula or definitive test that can tell us exactly what our spiritual gifts are. Because again, the Holy Spirit distributes gifts as He determines. And so a common problem that you and I maybe run into, the temptation is to get so caught up in trying to figure out spiritual gifts or trying to find one specific area that we only seek to serve God in one area, which we feel, okay, I've been gifted. I'm beginning to get a sense of desire and longing, and I enjoy what this is, so this is all I do. No, we have to understand that that's not how spiritual gifts work. God calls us to obediently serve Him in all things, whatever that may be. He may equip us with whatever gift He sees that we need to accomplish the very task that the church, that the body needs, and He is calling us to do. But we get caught up in the temptation of, you know, so often, I need to find it. I'm not going to do anything until I find it. And then when we get a glimpse of maybe I do have a gifting in this area, we limit the very thing God wants to do and just serve in this regard and saying, well, this is my niche, this is my role, when Christ is calling us all to serve in any way and any capacity. Some areas we may be better at, more confident in, but every area is an area that we can serve God. And so identifying that spiritual giftedness, yes, it can be accomplished in various ways. There are multiple spiritual gift tests or inventories, and yes, they shouldn't be fully relied on. They can be a help to us in helping us understand where gifting might be, but don't think that is the definitive proof, okay? Each test you take might tell you something different, then you get even more confused, but they're not a bad thing to do. But what is a great thing to see is confirmation from others. It gives us a light of our spiritual giftedness. People will notice and people will begin to say, you know, you really are showing a sense of leadership. You're beginning to show giftedness in your encouragement and your desire to serve. And by hearing that is a confirmation that maybe that is what God has called me to do or wants me to do in the body of Christ. Because others will see what God is doing, and then we begin to now identify specific areas that we can serve because of the specific gifts that God has given us. And then, most importantly, is prayer. By digging into God's Word, by praying over the very things we're asking Him, seeking Him, not just giving up after one prayer, God will reveal His wisdom to us, reveal the answers that we seek. It may not be in that moment, it may not be in the next week, but the one who gave it knows the very gift that He has given us, so why not go to the source in answering the question of what is my gift or my gifts that you've given me, Lord, so that I can best serve you. And as important as it is, and yes, it is important to identify areas that we have a giftedness towards, identifying areas that we have a desire to serve in. We have to understand that specifically knowing our spiritual gifts, again, does not excuse us from serving God in areas outside of that gifting. We say, well, the test told me this is where I'm gifted, and so I'm not going to be able to encourage. I'm not going to be able to serve in other ways. This is all I do. This is my niche. No, God has called us all to serve in various ways, and it's beneficial to know what spiritual gifts, you know, God has given us. Of course, that's the truth. But it is wrong to focus so much on spiritual gifts that we miss other opportunities as they come up to serve God. We are all in an understanding that we have to be dedicated to being used by God in whatever way He's calling us, because He will equip us with the gifts we need. It's not an instantaneous, I'm now in Christ, I've given God my life, I've been baptized, immediately I have the gift, I know what it is, this is my niche, this is all I do. But we realize that now, because I'm in Christ, this is an area I can start, but it's not an area I stop. I begin to serve Him more in this area, begin to see more opportunities, and no longer limiting what God can and will do in my life, because it is a gift given by God for us for a reason, to glorify Him, to build up the body of Christ, and to help us see that we are essential to that body. But again, we have to realize that it is a gift. And as any gift, in order to use it, to utilize it, we have to open it. And part of that is, yes, praying over God, where have you given me this gift? What kind of gift? What have you blessed me in? What ways, or what ways have you blessed me so that I can begin to serve you? Again, not holding back saying I have to wait till I have all the answers to serve, but begin to serve, and then God begins to open up more ways or maybe a deeper desire. But we have to open that gift. You know, the very first time I got, you know, my very first BB gun for Christmas, I started using it immediately. I think I even left some presents unopened because I was so excited to use it. At first, no, I wasn't a sharpshooter, but work and effort, I became maybe a decent shooter. It became an effort. It became something I wanted to utilize, I wanted to use, I wanted to be better at. But I would have never even become remotely close to an expert marksman if I just left it in the box. If I said, I appreciate the gift, Santa Claus, but I don't want to open it. I don't even want to see what it is. You know, we do that sometimes with God's gifts, with God's grace. We say, yeah, you know, I'm a part of the body of Christ, but I don't know my part. I don't know my role. Or we just say, I don't want to. But as Paul says, in light of the mercies that God has shown us, this is the way that we give our lives as a living sacrifice, serving Him, finding ways to serve. Because the best way to learn how God has gifted you is to serve. Start with what you've been asked to do from maybe a pastor, maybe a friend, whatever you know it may be. Begin to open up those opportunities. Begin to serve in small ways. And then you'll begin to realize, man, this actually makes my heart beat a little bit faster when I get to do this. I have a sense of ease at doing this very task that I thought would be more difficult for me. I began to learn it a little bit more. And so I begin to see that God has not only given me a desire for this, but He's actually gifted me to accomplish the very things that I was so hesitant to do. We often think that God always asks us to do what we can't do or what we don't want to do. But it makes more sense that God is going to call us for something, equip us for something that we enjoy. I love preaching God's word. I don't like giving up the pulpit. I love, you know, being able to study God's word and to share what I've studied for that particular Sunday. It is enjoyable to me. And as the opportunity came when I was younger, again, a horrible sermon, but I began to say, God, if this is where you've gifted me, then I know I'll get better with work. But I also begin to realize that, God, I have a desire to do it again, regardless of how bad it was that time, the second time, the third time, this time, whatever it is. Begin to see that, God, I long to do this. I long to serve you in this way. And the same is true with your gift. You begin to serve, begin to find things that you enjoy doing, and you actually find a sense of ease in doing it. You say, now I begin to see where God has placed me in the body. And now that I begin to understand that portion, that role, my desire to do that, I see once again the importance of my role. And as we see our importance in the body of Christ, we begin to serve more because we're serving God and we get to serve others. And we begin to see that each and every one of us has a part to play. And I, by God's grace, I have the opportunity to do that. So I hope you begin to see your essential nature to the body of Christ and begin to just maybe at first go out of your comfort zone to find specific areas you can serve. God will answer the question of, where do I fit, God? What is your will for my life? And where are my gifts specifically to be utilized for the body? God will reveal that, but in order to reveal it, we have to just start serving. Open that gift. Open opportunities to serve Him, serve the church more and more, because we all have a part to play. So let's pray. Hey guys, it's AJ Layton, lead pastor at Access Point Church. We're so glad you guys have found us, stumbled upon us, or been long listeners. If you like what you hear, please subscribe to our page, share with your friends. We look forward to seeing you next week.